The last 2 weeks, I've asked a question to you, and then I have sought to answer that question. 2 weeks ago, maybe you remember, I asked you, what if we got really serious about prayer? What if we really got serious about prayer? And the answer to that question can be found in the book of Acts. If we really got serious about prayer, more souls would be saved. If we really got serious about prayer, there would be more of a moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We would have more boldness in our witness. If we really got serious about prayer, maybe we would be upsetting our world with the gospel like they in the first century upset their world with the gospel. And we sang this song, or actually we listened to a song sung to us this morning on the video. If we really got serious about prayer, we would see mountains moved. We would see miracles happen. Last week I asked the question, what if we got serious about putting away our excuses? And I actually referenced four excuses that are oftentimes where we go when it comes to witnessing. We say, well, I'm afraid to witness. I can't witness. What would people think of me? What would they say about me? And then, you know, I just don't know what to say. And with those excuses, we need to call them for what they really are. They are excuses that keep us from sharing the good news of Jesus with the lost and dying world. And Satan will feed us those excuses. He has one excuse after another, and if we don't buy into the first excuse, he'll have another one. He just has a pocket full of excuses that he will try on us, and hopefully we will buy into that from his point of view, and then we will hold the message to ourselves. We can't fall to that trap. We need to know that they are excuses, and Jesus has empowered us to speak his message. He has empowered us to do his work, and we need to plug into that power. And so here's the question that I want to ask you today. What if we really got serious about surrender? I hope you don't mind me stepping on your toes today, because as I've prepared this sermon, I really stepped on my toes. And I think it may step on all of our toes. I don't want to be a preacher that tickles your ears. Paul talked about those kinds of preachers in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he didn't have much good to say about those preachers. Now, I know we need preachers who encourage the flock and build up the body of believers. And I want to be that kind of preacher. I want to be one who encourages you and lifts you up and is positive. We have a lot to be positive about. But I also want to be one who speaks the truth to you. And the truth is what we need. And Paul says, you know, what we want to hear versus what we need to hear, there's sometimes a difference there. And I want to be that one who tells you what you need to hear. In love, I want to share that with you. I want to share that in gentleness and seek his blessing in that. And so again, the question, what if we really got serious about surrender? I think, first of all, our lives would be complementary of the gospel. Cindy and I have been watching a TV series for quite a while, and we've come to the conclusion that we need to stop watching it. One of the problems I had with this particular show that we were watching, there was a character named Ray who was supposed to be a Christian. And in the early episodes, he really was a strong Christian. He's leading a Bible study. He's speaking up about Jesus, and those around him, they knew that he was a Christian. But as the episodes have gone along, something happened to Ray. And Ray began to look and act a whole lot like everybody else on the show. He could drink with the best of them. He could cuss with the best of them. He could tell lies with the best of them. He was unfaithful to his wife at one point in the show, and yet Ray was supposed to be a Christian. And it really was bothering me. What was happening? I suppose you could say he was Hollywood's version of what a Christian is like. He wore the label, but his talk and his actions were such a compromise to what Jesus has called us to. And there were a lot of other things going on with the show, and Cindy had actually kind of said something about it before I did, and then I came to that point too. I said, we just need to stop watching this. I want to encourage you, and I want to aim for this too in my life, that we would have a life that is complementary to the gospel. Let me call to your attention some of the challenges given to us in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling that you have received." Now, I want to emphasize that phrase, live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. There are expectations for us from God the Father. There is a life, there is a standard, there is a life that He's called us to. And you're going to see this over and over in Paul's writing. Let me read a couple other passages to you that have very similar wording in them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Colossians 1:10 says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way." I get the sense from these passages that we are to be giving it our best shot to live a life that is complementary to the message that we are speaking. There's not to be this great divide between what we say and how we live. Are we going to be perfect? No, not even close. And that's why John wrote what he did, and we looked at this verse a few weeks ago, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin," he says, and he knew we would, "if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Thank God for His grace. Amen? Amen? Thank God that He has given to us His Son. He knew that we were not going to be perfect. And so, before the world even began, He had a solution that He would give His Son Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we We live under his grace. But our love for Jesus should prompt us to aim for perfection. Let me talk with you for a moment about this word surrender. My question to you today is, what if we really got serious about surrender? What does it mean? What's that word mean? It means to yield. And we all know what that means on the roadways. We give up our right to the other vehicle. We purposefully give the other driver the right of way. You know, if I enter into one of these roundabouts, there's a yield sign there. And I look to my left, and if there's a vehicle coming, I am to yield to that vehicle. I give that driver the right of way. And so it is too with God. We give up our way for his way. We submit to him. We purposefully die to self. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yielding to God does not come natural for us, does it? We like to be in the driver's seat of our own life. We like to be calling the shots. We like to be the one turning the wheel and making the decisions. But to yield to God means that we scoot over into the passenger seat and we give God the wheel. We let him have his way, and we're not always telling him how it's supposed to be. We're not always telling him how to drive. Why? Because he is God and we're not. His ways are better than our ways. His thoughts are greater and higher than our thoughts are. And if we will surrender to him, he'll always get us to a better place than what we could have done for ourselves. And so what does this life of surrender really look like? You know, the best answer I could come up to that question is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, would you read it with me? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There you go. That's what the life of surrender looks like. It's when we have the Spirit guiding us and moving us in this direction of being like Jesus. That's really what it's all about there. That's describing the life of Jesus. And if we are living a life of surrender, then we should be growing in these character qualities, the quality of love and joy and peace, and right on down the line there, 9 character qualities. That's what the life of surrender looks like. We have this battle going on inside of us. A life that is surrendered to him is yielding to the Spirit rather than to the flesh. And it's complementary to the message of Jesus rather than contradictory. Let me give to you a second point here as we think about this question. What if we really got serious about surrender? I think we would have an eternal impact on the world if we got serious about surrender. I think the world would notice what's going on in our life. They'd notice the difference between us and the world. And it would make an impact. I'm thinking about the disciples. They were ordinary men. They were uneducated men. They were not especially talented, and yet they had an eternal impact upon the world simply because they were completely surrendered to Jesus. They were willing to go. They were willing to speak up, and the Holy Spirit used them beyond their capability. And he would do the same through us if we were surrendered to him completely. John Piper, in a sermon 20 years ago called "Don't Waste Your Life," that was the title of his sermon, and he was preaching at a Passion conference, and there were 30 to 40,000 college-age young adult people at this conference. And I wasn't familiar with the sermon, but I learned about it just recently. He gave a sharp contrast between two sets of people. The first set of people were a couple of elderly ladies that were serving in the country of Cameroon as missionaries. And I had to look up to know even where Cameroon is. I found that it's on the western shore of Africa and is a very impoverished country. And these two ladies, Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards, they were both around 80 years old. One was just a little above 80, and the other was just a little below 80 years old. And they're serving as missionaries in this impoverished African country. Ruby had been single her whole life, and she was a nurse. Laura was a retired medical doctor, and she was a widow. And for decades, both of these ladies had given their lives as missionaries in Africa. And as you would suspect, they were giving their attention to the sick. They were providing medical assistance to those who were sick. They were working with the poor and the needy, trying to help them with their needs, and all the while trying to speak up and make Jesus famous in a world that knew nothing about him. That's what these ladies were doing. They were giving their whole lives for this cause. I think it was in April of 2000 that these two ladies were in a car together. They were in a mountainous region. They were moving towards a very secluded village to do their work for Jesus to these people. And their brakes failed, and they went over the edge of a cliff, and they were both killed immediately, instantly. And in his sermon, John Piper asked the question, was this a tragedy? Well, you'd think, yeah, it's a tragedy, terrible tragedy. But John Piper had something different to say. He said, I don't think it was a tragedy at all. You have two lives driven by a passion to make Jesus known among the poor, even in their old age. He says this was not a tragedy. That got my attention. And interestingly, just a couple of weeks ago, I was reading about an interview. You know, I told the sermon was a long time ago, 20 years ago. But he was interviewed 20 years later about that sermon, and the question was asked of him, do you still think it was not a tragedy? And he didn't change his position at all. He basically said decades of biblical faithfulness devoted by these two ladies to the poorest of the poor in the name of Jesus, and you get to die without dementia, he said. This is not a tragedy. This is a full, glorious, God-honoring life and then heaven, unquote. But wow. That's quite a way to look at this. Back to his sermon 20 years ago. I told you he contrasted two sets of people. First set, these two ladies, these elderly ladies who were missionaries, giving their all. And the second set then that he shared with these young adults. He introduced another couple to the crowd, a married couple. He even said their first names. They took an early retirement, age 52. They moved to Florida, where they could cruise on their 30-foot boat at their leisure and play softball and collect seashells. And Piper said this, I quote, "Picture them before Jesus at the day of judgment, saying, 'Look, Lord, see my shells?'" And Piper said, now that is a tragedy. Wow. And this interview I mentioned to you, 20 years later after the sermon, he doesn't change his thoughts at all. His reflection back on the sermon, he says this, I quote, "You only get one life. You get one pass at this vapor's breath. You're going to collect seashells and present them to the judge of the universe, or you're going to do something that magnifies his worth over the worth of your leisure," unquote. Now, I wasn't there to hear the sermon, but just reading about it has convicted me. Just reading about it has made me do some thinking. I told you I wasn't going to tickle your ears today. Is John Piper saying that we can't take a vacation? No, he's not saying that at all. Is he saying that we can't go on a cruise or enjoy some leisure time in our lives? No, that's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is this: you need to measure your life and see what is it that you're doing that is going to really count for eternity. Who are you living for? Are you living for yourself and your own pleasure, or are you living for his pleasure? Where are your investments? Are they here or are they up there? Have you died to yourself so that you can live for him? If that doesn't make you do some thinking, or even squirming in your seat, then I don't know what will. Because it's made me do some thinking, and it's made me do some squirming. What if we really got serious about surrender? C.T. Studd said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." I I pray that while we're here on this earth, that we will be seeking to make an eternal impact on people around us. Will you get serious about surrender? Will we get serious about surrender? When we do, our lives will be complementary to the gospel, and we will make an eternal impact on the world around us. I don't want to stand before God and say, "Look at my seashells, God." I'd love to be able to stand before God and just say, "God, maybe here's some souls that have been touched through my life." Let's pray together. Help us, convict us, forgive us, move within us, dear God. Thank you for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.